Mrs. Chapel for September 12, 1962. Dr. Binkley is leading our service.
Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Eternal God, who hast made us for thyself, we are thankful for the invitation to draw near unto thee, and for the assurance that thou wilt draw near unto us. Forgive our sin, O Lord, and enable us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We commit to thy care those who have special need of thy help at this hour, including those whose work seems to be too complex for their minds or too heavy for their hands, and including those who are bravely bearing with unmurmuring patience the heavy burden of sickness and distress. Give them wisdom and strength for the living of this day. Enable us to walk in the path of truth and brotherly love in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. In these moments, I should like to draw attention to the meaningful task upon which we are engaged in this seminary. And I should like to begin by reading the 58th verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Originality is rare, but there are three relatively new factors in the human situation in the 20th century. The first of these is the advancement of science. The scientific spirit of respect for all discoverable facts and the scientific method of research have enlarged man's knowledge, especially man's knowledge of the external world, and increased his power. The second new factor is the enormous growth of the human family. The population of the world this month is approximately 3,200,000,000 persons, and it is expected to surpass 6 billion by the end of this century. The third major factor is the emergence of large-scale intergroup tensions, hostilities, and conflicts. These tensions have become intensified not only by the incompatible purposes of nations and groups of nations, but also by the rising aspirations of millions of people who at present do not have access to the resources of education, health, and economic opportunity. Amidst these tremendous forces, there is a spiritual and intellectual leadership. It is composed of intelligent, courageous, committed men and women who have a sense of direction and who see meaning in the work to which they devote their energy. What are the components of the task upon which you and I are engaged daily on this campus? In the first place, we participate in the search for knowledge. We labor in the shadow of the cross, and we are concerned about knowledge of God and its implication for man and society in the second half of the 20th century. This school, as you know, has deep roots in a spiritual heritage, a fundamental purpose derived from this heritage is to educate ministers who are willing to serve in humble places and competent to serve in responsible places in the life and work of the churches in this nation and overseas. The curriculum is an instrument for the achievement of this purpose. In this school, the curriculum, composed of four closely related areas of study, provides, we believe, the scope and the depth essential to the mastery of major theological disciplines. It enables the alert student to learn how the Bible was written, how it was transmitted to us, what it teaches, and how its message is related to the questions of the modern mind and to the distresses of the human heart. Moreover, the curriculum encourages the student to examine the crucial issues confronting the people of God in this generation, in the perspectives of Christian history and of the opportunities and joys of the Christian mission in the world. It guides the student in the formulation of a coherent interpretation of life informed by the mind of Christ and prepares him to take his place humbly and gratefully among the good ministers of Jesus Christ in a period of rapid social change. This search for knowledge is a meaningful task. 2 nights ago, I rediscovered how hot it is on the fourth floor of Hunter Dormitory. I was impressed by the courtesy and the kindliness of the students I saw there. I was excited by the firsthand evidence that the students saw meaning in their studies. And I thanked God for this fact. In the second place, we are involved not only in a search for knowledge, but also in the struggle for justice. Some of you know that one of the most important passages in the writing of Reinhold Niebuhr is chapter 9 of volume 2 of The Nature and Destiny of Man, in which he wrote these words: "The struggle for justice is as profound a revelation of the possibilities and limits of historical existence as the quest for truth." Near the dome of the Library of Congress at Washington, which has become the largest library in the world, these words of Micah are inscribed: "What doth the Lord require of us but to do justly and to love kindness and to walk humbly with thy God?" But it is very difficult in some of the structures of our society to do justice or to love kindness or to walk humbly with God. In fact, except for the grace of God, it would be impossible to live the Christian life in some of the human communities in this nation and in other parts of the world. As we participate in the struggle for justice, however, it is important for us to remember that all social structures are made by man, and every man-made social structure can be changed. Every form of government is made by man and can be changed by man. Every economic order is made by man and can be changed by man. Every pattern of race relations is made by man and can be changed by man. Even war is made by man, and war can be changed by man. In one of the most exciting conversations in which I have participated in the past 10 years, a physicist from Japan raised the question, "Is the Third World War inevitable?" And with apparent sadness, he answered his own question affirmatively. There were others of us who answered the question negatively. The Third World War is possible. The Third World War appears to be probable. But the Third World War is not inevitable. social structures are made by man. And if man comes to his knees in confession and penitence and adoration and submission before God, he may rise to his feet for peaceful action in the presence of God. Now, as we participate in the struggle for justice and in the search for knowledge, we need a very high frustration level. And here and there one finds evidence that the frustration level, even of theological students in the United States, is not as high as men of faith have a right to expect. And one might also say that the frustration level of theological professors and theological deans is not as high as men of faith in the churches have a right to expect. And as we face our meaningful task in these days, it may be well for us to ask ourselves some questions. How soon do I become impatient and discouraged? How quickly do I get angry? How easily am I frightened? How much peril can I endure before I lose objectivity? Paul's frustration level, at least some of the time, was high. Listen to his words as he wrote to the Christians at Corinth. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Isn't this a high frustration level? And as we search for knowledge, and as we struggle for justice, may we not be expected to have this kind of courage. In the third place, our task is a meaningful task because we maintain a vital relation between worship and work. In Christian worship, as William Temple said, we submit our minds to God's truth. We open our hearts to God's love. We commit our lives to God's will. Then we go to our daily tasks in the assurance that we labor within the sound of God's voice and under the inspiration of his love. Wherefore, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor in the Lord is not empty or meaningless. Let us pray. Be with us, O God, in our going forth and in our coming in, until we come at last to the Father's house, to go out no more forever. Amen.